Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
You can be seated this morning, and as you're sitting down, tell someone next to you, God is better to you than you deserve. That's the gospel truth, amen? You're going to hear that in the word this morning. Tell them, I don't deserve his goodness. Amen. That's the truth. How many know we don't deserve God's goodness? Does anybody love the Lord? I'm looking to see if anybody in here is in love with Jesus this morning. Amen. We're not just checking off the box. We're here because we love God and we're thankful for God. Has God been good to anybody? I like the word great. God is great this morning. Amen. We had a great first service. We're going to have a great second service. Amen. This is going to be a great message. How many came to get some spiritual food? Amen. God's got a good word. While you're clapping, if someone's here for the first time, let's let our guests know that we're glad they're here, whether they're in the congregation or watching online. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about God's great grace this morning. If you've got your Bibles, open to Lamentations. I'll give you a second to get there. If you have a phone, it'll be easy. It'll be a little more difficult if you have your Bible. Love to see the Bibles, though. Let's show the devil we got a Bible this morning. You got a Bible this morning? Just lift it up. Let me see your Bibles. Amen. How many know it's good to bring them? We can use our phones. I use my phone a lot, but there's nothing like having this hand in our hand. This is the sword. Amen. So grace is something that is vital to our faith, and don't put that up yet if you don't mind, vital to our faith and important, and we need to understand it and need to understand both sides of it to really understand how important it is in our life. And I want to share that this morning because a lot of people take advantage of grace. How many would agree with that? In other words, grace is something that is given by God, but a lot of people today have a wrong perspective on it. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning because grace, and I'm going to give you some definition, I'm going to give you some understanding. Everybody knows the word, and we'll even say, hey, let's say grace before we eat. It's about the only thing some people know about what grace is. But there's way more to it, and it starts with the fact that grace is something we don't deserve. That's why I told you, tell that person next to you, God's been better to you than you deserve. We do not deserve God's grace. Amen? Nobody does. But his grace is one of his greatest gifts. And the definition of it is it's free. How many like free things? But we live in a world where we know that most things that say they're free, they're not really free. God's grace is truly free. And his grace is unmerited or undeserved favor. Okay, unmerited and undeserved favor. So he means he showers his blessings on us in a way that we don't deserve. Instead of judgment and wrath. How many know that there is two sides to God? Amen. We're made in his image, and there's a side of his grace, and there's a side of his judgment. Today we want to be on the side of his grace. Amen. And I want to show you in the scriptures some of his judgment side to make you appreciate his grace side. If you don't see the judgment side, you don't appreciate the grace. A lot of people don't like to talk about hell or eternity or what some people would call fire and brimstone. How many know we're going to talk about everything that's in the Bible? If it's in there, we're going to read it. Amen. But when you talk about grace, I want to use the word grace and mercy, and get us to understand this. Grace is something that you receive that you don't deserve, okay? Something you get that you don't deserve. Everybody see that? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So grace and mercy play a huge part in the Gospels. God made us, simple gospel this morning, God made us in his image, and he made us to glorify him. Okay? So the desire of God is that we would glorify him in everything we do, that our lives would lift his name up, that our lives would make people want what we have in our lives. That's God made us to praise him, right? To honor him. That's what he did for us. That was his intention. But how many know that not everybody does that? Because we have free will. And so we have the opportunity, do I want to accept God's grace, and this sounds crazy, or do I want to resist God's grace? We can actually resist God's grace. It sounds crazy. Why would anybody do that? But every single day people do it. When you pass out a tract to somebody, and you tell them Jesus loves them, and they put their hand up and say, I don't want to hear that, they're rejecting God's grace. When you invite them to church and say, God can change your life like he changed mine, and they say, I don't want to go to church, they're rejecting God's grace. It sounds crazy that somebody would do that, but people do it every single day. Now, this is the key to the message right here, if you're taking notes, and I want you to write this down. This is very important. Grace cannot be bought, and grace cannot be earned. Okay, so you can't buy it, can't earn it. But here's the important part. It has to be received. Has to be received. You can't buy it, you can't earn it, but you have to receive it. Everybody get that? So if you reject it, then you're not receiving it. If you're receiving it, then you're not rejecting it. I know this is kind of opposites attract here, but this is important to understand. So when I understand God's grace, I'm saying I there's nothing I can do to deserve his grace. There's nothing I can do to deserve his mercy, but I can receive it. He is offering it to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would receive it, would accept it, would be saved and not perish and have everlasting life. Amen? So Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to look at a couple verses here that are so powerful. And we're going to look at this verse, and we're going to look at a key word here that we're going to focus on for a few minutes, because it's going to get a little, and this is a great follow-up to last week's message on forgiveness. Okay, God's grace. Because without God's grace, we can't be forgiven. Without God's grace, we can't forgive. So in this verse, in Lamentations, it says, through the Lord's mercies. And I want you to underline this word, and I want you to make it big or do something there so you can focus on it. It says, we are not consumed. It's a very powerful word that we're going to get into for a few minutes that I hope is going to help us understand what grace is. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Today, as we read this and as we continue on this, I just want you to stop and think for a second and never get tired that I say this. Never get tired of me repeating this. Where would you be today if it wasn't for God's grace? I know that's a very sobering thought, and I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. If you know my test, I know where I would be. I have no doubt where I would be, and that's why I love grace so much, because I wouldn't be here. Not only would I not be here, according to the word of the Lord to me, I wouldn't even be alive. I would already be in eternity. And according to what the Lord showed me, I would have been in hell. So I've lived the last 30 years, and as I've gotten older and as I've gotten more mature in the Lord and I've fallen more in love with the Lord, I've fallen more in love with grace. And I've learned to appreciate more grace because I don't take for granted the fact that I shouldn't be here. Many with me? Don't think, well, I deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be here. We should be somewhere else. We would be somewhere else today. And not a good place, probably, if it wasn't for God's grace and God's mercy. Lord, for the next few minutes, anoint your word. Let it touch the hearts and the ears of your people. Those that are here, those that are watching online, those that will listen to this on a podcast 5 years from now, Father, anoint this word and cause us to have an understanding of how good you are, how great you are, how merciful you are, and how loving you are. Thank you for speaking to us, and thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. In Jesus' name, amen. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Okay, I'm going to come back to that in a second. Because his compassions fail not. Tell the person next to you, you're only here because God is merciful. It's the truth. Okay? They are new every morning. Is anybody thankful that his mercies are new every morning? And then that's why I'm using the word great, not good. God is good, but he's better. He's great. Great is your faithfulness. Now, here's the word consumed. It's mentioned 249 times in the Bible in this meaning of the word. And it's the Webster Dictionary says this. And I want, as I'm reading this, I want you to think, this is where I should be. This is what my life would be if it wasn't for God's grace. Consumed means to destroy. As by decomposition. I know that sounds kind of harsh. Dissipation. And then this word, waste. Or fire. To use up, to expend, to waste, to burn up, to eat up, to devour, to waste away slowly. That's the future of every man and woman in this world who doesn't want to understand God's grace. And that's just the simple truth. We can choose to accept, what did he say? I set before you life and death, choose life. I set before you grace and mercy, or I set before you judgment and wrath. Which one do you want to choose? It sounds ludicrous that someone would actually choose judgment and wrath, but people do it all the time. It's amazing. But I want to think about that word waste. I don't want my life to be a waste. God created me and he created you in his image to glorify his name, to do great things for the kingdom of God. I don't want to waste that opportunity. Amen? As David was saying in the prayer, we have a short amount of time on this earth to do something for God. I don't want my life to be a waste. I don't want to be consumed by God in the way that this scripture is telling us. And because of his grace, we're not. Amen? Now, I was looking for the perfect quote, and I've been looking for it all week. I've been working on this message all week. I had finished it, but I found the quote I was looking for this morning that would make the most sense. It's from my guy, A.W. Tozer. I say my guy. I've never met him before, but I really like him. And here it is. If this is really going to help you as we go forward for the next few minutes, it's kind of going to be like last week. We're going to get some more surgery done. We're going to hear some verses that are hard. We're going to hear some verses that will make us appreciate God's grace. But here's the quote by A.W. Tozer. No one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. So that's why I want to talk about being consumed by God. I want to talk about the wrath of God. I want to talk about the judgment of God. Because when I fear God, I understand grace. You'll never fully understand grace if you don't fear the Lord. And doesn't the Bible say the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord? So again, no one can truly know the grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. So today, if you don't have a reverent fear of God, you're never going to understand grace the way God wants you to. But today you can get that fear, and that's what God wants you to have. He wants you to have a reverent fear that he's God. Amen? Here's some examples in the Bible. And remember, there's 249, so I'm not going to give you 249 examples. But I'm going to choose a few. And it starts off in Genesis 19:15. When the morning dawned, you know this story, it's Abraham and Lot, it's Sodom and Gomorrah, the wrath of God is coming down in the city. It says the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife, that's Lot's wife, and your two daughters who are here, and look what it says, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city. Now here's a choice. How many know the story of Abraham and Lot? And Lot's wife. Lot and his kids, his daughters, get out only by the grace of God, because they had to be told several times. But Lot's wife chooses to reject the grace of God, because this verse is a verse of grace. He's saying, get out, hurry and get out, because there's some punishment coming that is going to consume everyone that's in that city. If you don't get out, you're going to be in it. What does Lot's wife do? Rejects the grace of God. Turns back and looks where she came from, and the Bible says she's consumed and she turns into a pillar of salt. She's destroyed. Okay? That's every person's life. And that's why I want you to see how important it is to realize how great God's grace is. Leviticus 10. This is just some examples. I'm just going through the Bible, going through the Old Testament. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, They were the priests. They were working together with fire in the altar. They would do this every day. They would put incense on it. And then it says they offered profane fire before the Lord. I believe this is where greasy grace comes in. How many have ever heard the saying greasy grace? Hopefully you haven't been in too many churches and you don't really know what the definition is. But today there's a grace being preached that's greasy. And the way it is the opposite of how I'm preaching today. It's God saved you by grace, and so there's nothing you can do to make him mad, and you can do anything you want, and he'll forgive you, and it's almost like I can pull out my license to sin because I'm saved by... I know that sounds crazy. I see some of you nodding your heads, but that they teach that. It's taught. That's greasy grace. To me, this is like the profane fire that Nahab and Abihu are doing. And it says, which he had not commanded them. And it says, fire went out from the Lord and devoured. The same word devoured is the word consumed. It consumed them. And they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is very important. He said, this is what the Lord has spoke. By those who come near me, and this is very important right here in this beginning of this message, I must be regarded as holy. Does anybody understand in this place today that God requires holiness? That's not preached enough today. He is a holy God. He says, be holy as I am holy. That needs to be preached more, amen? Not, hey, do whatever you want, do whatever you feel. God loves you, he'll forgive you. No, God is holy. Can I get a better amen? Amen. And before all the people, I must be glorified. If anybody can ask for glory, it's God. He asked for it, we should give it to him. So he says, God says, I must be regarded as holy. How many are thankful today as I think about that, of these men dying with the flame, the wrong fire? They're doing, so basically to make that make sense, if you don't understand it, they're doing something religious that's right with the wrong attitude. Okay, they're doing it in pride, they're doing it in arrogance, they're doing it the wrong way, they're doing it their way. They die. Is anybody thankful that we're not living in those days today? Is anybody thankful that we're not living in the days of the apostles in the book of Acts? We would have caskets lined up across the church. People, we would be doing praise and worship, and people would be dropping dead, maybe myself included. We would just be dropping dead because of our sins. Ananias and Sapphira sold some land, did a good thing, sold some land, but then lied about the amount. And Peter said, how much did you give to the Lord? How much did you sell that land for? And they lied and died. Pick them up and take them out. And by the time they're out the door coming back from burying Ananias, Sapphira's coming through the door. Hey, how much did y'all pay for sell the land for? And she lied. Dead. Is anybody thankful we're not living in those days? That's why you should go, thank you, God, for your great grace. Why did he let that happen to them? As an example. That this is serious business. But we are living in the grace, the age of grace. But we don't, again, want it to be greasy grace. Then we see in the Old Testament many times where the Israelites are murmuring and they're complaining. And they're doing what a lot of us do as human beings. And we're not thankful. We're not happy. And They're upset because they got took out of Egypt and they could have had better food and they this, that, and the other. And we pick up in Numbers 14:35. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation. How many don't want to be the evil congregation? Who are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed and there they shall die. Those are not words that you want to hear from the Lord. But he says them. That's why we should wake up and be sober-minded this morning, because we have a whole Old Testament telling us God, next verse here, Deuteronomy 4:24, is a consuming fire, a jealous God. The Bible says he does not share his glory with anyone. So why I'm saying all this is I'm trying to show you the side of God that we don't want to be on, which is the rebellious side, being rebellious to God, being rejecting of God, being angry at God, not being fearful of God, not loving God, but being on the side of God. I don't deserve to be here. I am a nobody, and I sure am thankful for your great grace. Amen? Humility at its highest. Lord, I just can't thank you enough. I just don't have the words to thank you enough that I'm not on that side. And we could have already been on that side. How many have done some things in here where you probably already should be dead? Amen. Honest people? Amen. We never lied? Of course. Never cheated? Never had a bad thought? Never got angry? Of course. All these things. How come we're not dead? How come we're not dead today? Grace of God. Amen. Well, how come they're dead and we're not? Don't worry about it. Just be thankful you're not. Don't try to figure that out. Just be on God's graceful side. Amen? Just be smart. Tell the person next to you, just be smart. Amen. Here's another one, Ezekiel 22:31. Therefore, now remember, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, major prophets. These words in Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel are twofold. They're being spoken then, and they're speaking of a future event. God has had times, pay attention to this, God has had times in the past he has poured out his indignation. What's indignation? Really mad, upset God. Okay? Anger. That's not really hard, easy to understand. Okay? What you sort of feel when you think of babies' heads getting cut off or people getting raped or all the horrible things that happen in this world that we as human beings get mad and upset and wish justice would happen, that's when God deals with things, that's his indignation because he is a righteous, holy, perfect God that cannot stand sin. Does everybody understand that? And every sin will be dealt with. Okay? Don't worry about all those things that have happened in this world. They will be dealt with. Okay? And thank God, because of his grace, our sins will not be dealt with because of his mercy. Is anybody following what I'm trying to teach you here? Okay? So God is a big God, a strong God. How many yesterday when you were listening to that storm and hearing the thunder and lightning, how many of you when you hear that thought, stop and think, wow, God is a big God? You should. I heard a thunder yesterday. I happened to be right by the window, and thunder happened, and my house shook. Like, literally shook. That, and I thought, oh, God, I love you. Love you, God. I just think that's wise. Who would go, only a fool. Right? But don't people do it every day? They reject the goodness of God, the greatness of God. You see those lightning strikes. You know who we should learn from? The dogs. My dog freaks out when thunder and lightning happens. He is a very strong German shepherd, big, buff, strong, mean, bark at you, scare your dog till thunder and lightning comes. And he wants to find the smallest hole to crawl into. Amen? You know why? He respects God. So back to this, Ezekiel 22:31, he has poured out his indignation in the past, like on Sodom and Gomorrah, but those have been just little things. Think about the flood, 40 days. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah, a couple days. We know there's coming a time soon in the tribulation that for 3.5 years, God's going to pour his wrath out. Did y'all catch that? Not a few days, not 40 days, 3.5 years. He's going to pour his wrath out on this earth. Is anybody thankful we're not going to be here? Is anybody thankful for the great grace of God? Because these aren't just words, church. This has happened, and it's going to happen again. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. And I have recompensed, that means rewarded, their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Okay? There is no force in this world that even is in the same universe as the power of God. And somehow by his grace, he allows us to be his children. Amen? Anybody following me? Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination, this is futuristic, is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms and look, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Pastor, why are you reading these verses? So you'll be thankful for the grace of God. Amen. Are you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to tell you how thankful you should be for the great grace of God. If you don't understand how strong God is, how angry he can get, you don't understand how graceful he is and merciful is to you when he forgives you. I hope I'm getting to somebody today. Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Take that down for just a second. I got to throw this in here. When it says kingdom that cannot be shaken, church, how many understand today that no matter what this world looks like, God is in control? Amen. Nothing is catching him by surprise. Nothing is getting around him. Nothing is getting over him. He's not slack concerning his promises. He's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do, and he's going to fulfill every word of this book that we're reading. And church, whether we're involved or not, his will is going to be done. So I choose today not my will, Lord, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, church. I'm getting on God's side. Is anybody understanding what I'm trying to tell you today? He is going to do what he's going to do. And nobody's going to change his mind. He's God. He has a plan. His plan's going to be fulfilled. We have a choice which side we're going to be on. That's all I'm trying to tell you today. I choose grace side. Now, let's put that back up. I just had to throw that in there. God's not shaken by anything that's happened in this world. He says, my kingdom's not going to be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God. You know what that means to me? As we receive grace, we need to learn to give grace. That's why I always tell you, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what you were saved from. Don't be saved so long that you start to think that you're better than the sinner who comes through the doors, who looks like you used to look, smells like you used to smell, talks like you used to talk, and probably acts worse than you used to act, or better, actually, than you used to act. Don't forget that. Remember who you were and say, God, the only difference between me and that person is your grace, and I don't deserve it. And he says, serve God acceptably with reverence. This is 28. And godly fear. Notice you're going to see this a lot. Godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, think about a fire that burns land, right? Those, what's the actual word for that? Wildfires. That fire is going to go where it goes. It's got a path. No one knows it. And it's going to burn. Your choice is get out of the way or get burnt. That's basically what's happening. Try to put it out. It's going to go. Same with tornado. Anybody in here afraid of tornadoes? I know people are afraid. You know what? I'm afraid of a lot of things. I'm not afraid of a tornado because tornado's going to do what tornado's going to do. I'm going to try my best to not be in the way of it. I'm not going to be one of those crazy people chasing it. But I realize if it's my time, that tornado's going to take me up. Hopefully it don't throw me too far. Hopefully God just takes me all the way up, amen? But a tornado's going to do what a tornado's going to do. All you can do is get out the path. God's kingdom, God's plan is going to happen. We get to choose which side we're on. Is anybody thankful that you're on this side of God's great grace? Come on. I'm just trying to get you to be thankful because I sure am. And we need to be thankful many times a day. Thankfulness is the will of God. So just a few verses here out of the 249 I could have used. I just chose a few to get us to understand to see what God's grace saves us from. Because sometimes we just kind of go through life and we don't realize what could happen, where I should be. You're sitting in a chair today in a church that's preaching the gospel to you. You could be in a hospital, like Eric and Kaylee are today. You could be in a prison cell. Or worse than anything, you could already be on the other side without God. So here's a powerful quote if you're taking notes. And I think this is so important. This isn't the quote yet. We need to look at sin the way God looks at sin. Okay? God hates sin. We got to understand that. He hates it. He cannot be around sin. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteousness. So sin has to be dealt with. Does everybody understand that? It will help you understand the grace of God. It will help you understand the wrath of God when you understand sin has to be paid for. There's a bill. Yes, it's Adam and Eve's fault. Yes, they started it. We have it. Well, you can argue it all you want. Well, I don't think that's in our bloodline. I don't think we should be responsible. It is what it is. We are born in sin. We don't have a choice. The Bible says it. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death. That's just what it is. You can argue with God all you want, but it is what it is. So we have to understand sin has to be paid for. That's why Jesus came. Okay? So you have to look at sin different. Before you got saved, before your eyes were open, you didn't look at sin the way God wants you to. Now that you're saved, you need to look at sin as a problem that you don't want to have in your life. And yes, we are going to sin, but you can control your sin. Amen? Does anybody believe that? The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. You need to get to a place where you love God so much and understand his grace so much that you don't want to sin. Because sin affects God's grace. Sin abuses God's grace. Everybody with me? Here's the quote. If you have a small view of your sin, God's grace will be small to you. If you just look at sin as like, oh, that's just another mess up I did, your grace is going to be small. The more you understand how sin is to God, the more grace becomes magnified to you. That I don't deserve it. Now we're going to start to get to the good part. Everybody good with the bad part? Okay, I'm going to end good. Don't worry. It's going to end positive. That's why it's called God's grace. God's great wrath. I didn't say that, right? God's great grace. Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. And I love this right here. And no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How many want to walk uprightly with God this morning? He'll be a sun and a shield to you. He'll give grace to you. And then I love this. He won't withhold anything good from those who walk uprightly. See, as you begin to understand grace, you don't live anymore looking about what you can get away with. You look at how you can please God. How you can be the closest to God as possible. How you can be the most pleasing to God as possible. And you begin to take on God's character and you begin to hate sin like God does. Because you appreciate the grace of God. And like the verse says, it's similar to Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Has God ever done something for you where you just went, man, God, I didn't even ask you for that. Thank you, Lord. I love you so much, and you obviously love me back because you just did that, and I didn't even ask for it. That's powerful. God is a good God. He's a good Father. Amen? I'm not trying to paint God as a bad God. I'm trying to paint God as God, as the scriptures describe him. And when you see God as who he is and what he can do, it makes you appreciate the fact that he chose to give us grace because he doesn't have to. Does anybody understand that? Amen. So this is powerful. Grace is power, not just pardon. Sometimes we look at grace as, Lord, be graceful to me because I messed up. And you're looking at it as forgiveness only. Grace is power because you can receive it and you can give it. You can be graceful to somebody. You can be that example of grace to somebody. You can pay it forward to somebody. And as the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You're never going to be graceful to somebody if you don't understand grace. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen. The more grace you've been given, the more grace you should give. Now let's look at probably my favorite part of this message. Psalms 103, 8 to 17. The Lord, you gotta get excited reading this, okay? You don't have to shout or anything, but at least inside. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Thank you, Lord. Slow to anger. That means when you make God mad, you have really done something foolish. Because he does not get mad easily. Think about that. When the wrath of God comes on Sodom and Gomorrah, it came after a whole lot of warnings. When they didn't make it into the promised land, it came after a whole lot of warnings. Look at your Bible and you're going to see that God is always trying to give us a chance. Is anybody thankful he didn't just strike us dead on the first mess up? He's slow to anger and abounding in mercy. I can preach this for the next 10 weeks and still never be able to describe how merciful God is. But I'm trying to. How graceful God is. He's abounding. And you know what we do a lot of times? We say, Lord, I hope that your mercy and your grace is on that person. When somebody passes away, and they haven't been living for the Lord in a way where you're not sure where they're at. Lord, I hope your mercy is great. How many don't want to live a life like that? That when you die, people are saying, Lord, I hope your mercy was great. How about getting grace and mercy while we're alive and understanding it? And then when we pass away, people will applaud that we've been to heaven. I know they're in heaven because they understood grace and mercy. Amen. That's what I want to live my life that way. I don't want my life to be a waste. But he will not always strive with us. So he's like, if you've ever had to correct somebody in work or ministry or life or your kid, you always want to build them up first. Hey, you've been doing a really good job. You know, you've been getting pretty good grades, and I'm so thankful for it. You build them up before you tear them down. Then you build it back up again, right? But you got it. So he's, hey, I'm graceful. I'm merciful, I'm abounding in mercy, I'm slow to anger, but I'm not always going to be. That's what he's saying, but I'm not going to do this forever. There's going to be a time when I'm not going to hold my anger any longer. And we know that part of the Great Tribulation is the Bible says, Jesus said, that moment will be different than any other moment in the history of the world, that 3.5 years. Okay, now watch what it keeps saying. Now, if the last verse didn't get you excited, this definitely ought to. He has not dealt with us according to our sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when I lied, I didn't drop dead like Ananias. Well, how come he dropped dead and I didn't? I don't know, but thank you, Lord, that I didn't drop dead like Ananias did. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. That's why it says God's great grace, because according to my sins, I should be dead. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great, there's that word again, is his mercy towards those, there's that word again, who fear him. Let me read this again. Go back one. As the heavens are high above the earth, as that thunder and lightning was up in the sky yesterday and rain was coming down and storms were happening and houses were shaking, that's how great his mercy is. So I can think that the house shook. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you that your grace and your mercy is as strong as that thunder just now. Towards who? Those who fear him. Have we seen that a few times? That fear brings, reverent fear brings grace and mercy. Now watch this. as far, you hear me say this all the time at altar calls, as far as the east is from the west. Let's make sure I got my directions right. East is from the west. He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children. So this means that as children, we can talk to God like a child can talk to a good father and change his mind. Lord, Father, I said in the first, when my daughters give me those eyes, they can change my mind. There's nothing, and that's still to this day. You know how old they get, if they give me those girly eyes, those little daughter eyes, it melts me. Y'all follow me? That's how God, we can be with God. God, I'm as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those. In other words, takes mercy on those who fear him. For he knows our frame. That means he knows everything about us. And he remembers that we are dust. And as for man, and I want you to think about this, as his days are like grass and the flowers of the field, he flourishes. Do you ever realize how fragile our life is? That's another reason to be very thankful for his grace. You could just hit your head and die. You could just have a heart attack right now. You could have a stroke right now. You could just breathe your last breath right now. We're dust. We're so fragile. That's why, Lord, thank you for this day. Tomorrow, thank you for today. You don't owe me today. Thankfulness is the will of God. For the wind passes over and it's gone and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Is anybody thankful for that? Come on, that's a good place to clap. The mercy of the Lord is from ever, we sing that song, everlasting, everlasting, you are God. Right? That's it right there. On those who, not those who reject him, those who, how many times have we seen that? Quite a bit, huh? There must be something to this fear in the Lord. And his righteousness to children's children. Here's another good quote, especially after yesterday with that rain. Grace is like water. It flows to the lowest place. That water comes down the roof, down the side, into the dirt. It keeps going until there's no place left to go. That water, grace will go down as low as it needs to go for you. Amen? Billy Graham was driving through a small southern town and was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. True story. Billy Graham sped. Graham admitted his guilt and was told by the officer he had to go appear in court. The judge asked, guilty or not guilty? Billy Graham said, guilty. So in other words, he admitted his guilt. The judge replied, that'll be $10, which tells you that was a long time ago. He must have been very young getting started. $1 for every mile you went over the limit. See, sin has a payment. Suddenly the judge recognized the famous minister. He says, Mr. Graham, you have violated the law. When we sin, we violate the law. He said, listen to this, the fine must be paid. So that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. The fine must be paid. He says, but I'm going to pay it for you. The judge pulls out his wallet, takes a $10 bill, attaches it to the ticket, gives it to Billy Graham, and then takes him out and buys him steak dinner. And Billy Graham says, that is how God treats repentant sinners. Amen? When we admit it, we say, I'm sorry, and I know I've made a mistake, and we call on the mercy of the Lord, God is never, say never, say it again. Never going to reject you. Never. When you repent and you say, Lord, I made that mistake. But that's the key. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. We try to, I didn't do that. You can't fool God. If Billy Graham doesn't admit that, he doesn't get off. And you're not doing it to get off. He admitted he was wrong, and that judge had mercy on him. God does that with us. Amen. As the musicians begin to come, Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. Listen to this. But where sin abounded, grace abounds all the more. But that doesn't mean that since grace abounds all the more, I can sin all the more. No, it means that the more dark this world is, the more God's grace can come down and change us. You know what, church? As lost as this world is, there's still hope. Anybody believe there's still hope for this world? There's still hope for your family? There's still hope for your neighbors? There's still hope for your coworkers? There's still hope for your parents and your kids to turn and repent and get the grace of God? For he, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That's grace, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, last verse, Titus chapter 2. Look at this. For the grace of God that brings salvation, this is key, has appeared to all men. It means everybody can have it. But it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness. So to understand grace, I've got to deny the ungodliness in my life and worldly lust and the things that are working in me and live soberly. This doesn't sound like greasy grace to me. Sounds like if I'm appreciative of the grace of God, I'm going to live the most like God that I can. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. God, I can't speak for anybody else here, and I don't need to. I am thankful for your great grace. I do not deserve it, and that's what grace is. I cannot earn it, and that's what grace is. I cannot purchase it, and that's what grace is. All I can do this morning is receive it. And I thank you, Lord, that by grace, not by works, I am saved, lest any man should boast. Father, I thank you today that I'm standing in this church with these great people, in love with you and on my way to heaven, under the grace and the mercy of God, instead of where I'm supposed to be and where I deserve to be. I today, again, cannot speak for anybody else, but I admit to you, I don't deserve heaven. I deserve your wrath. I deserve your judgment. I deserve the penalty of my sin. But God, while I was still a sinner, you came and died for the ungodly. And today, Lord, all over this place and listening on the podcast and watching the live stream, there may be some people today that are understanding, I am a sinner saved by grace. Today, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never believed that he truly died on that cross for your sins, the Bible says today is the day of your salvation. Today is the acceptable day of the Lord. How many all over this place, front to back, side to side, every aisle, every row, could be honest with God today and say, today, if I passed into eternity, I don't know which side of God I'd be on. Would I stand before God as a judge, or would I stand before God as a savior? If you have not expressed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not believed that he died on the cross for your sins, if you have not accepted his grace to you today, you will stand on the side of judgment. But if you will say, today, Lord, I believe that Jesus took my place, that while I was a sinner, he died for me, the ungodly, and you put your faith in him, the Bible says that you'll pass over from death to life. How many in this place today could say, Pastor, you're talking to me. Just lift up your hand and put it right back down and say, would you pray with me today? I want to be saved. All over this congregation, I see your hand. God bless you, young lady. How many more? Quickly, all over this place. I'm just going to wait just a moment. I see your hand. God bless you. I want to pass from death to life. Today, when you make that decision, when you accept that challenge, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. When so many today are rejecting, so many are turning away, so many are saying, I don't need that, or they think their works or their goodness or being a good person, or they might even think they're just too lost. That's not true either. There's no sin that God won't forgive. There's no mistake that you've made that God can't change. Just fall on the grace and the mercy of God. How many more, quickly, before I move on, I'm here and I need to be saved today. I want that to be me. I want to change my life. Just put your hand up. Put it right back down. Maybe you're here. I see your hand. Maybe you're here and you have said that prayer. You have put your faith in Jesus. But today, maybe, I'm not going to embarrass you and ask you to come up here or anything, but maybe you're abusing the grace of God. Maybe you're not thankful for the grace of God. Maybe you don't fear God. And today you need to fall back in love with Jesus today and get on his right side and get on his side of fear and mercy and grace and appreciate the love that he's had for you. Let's stand all over this place this morning. Church, this is vital today. This is a matter of life and death. Souls are hanging in the balance. Somebody could be watching online right now that doesn't know Jesus, as well as some that raised their hands here. The next step is, if you meant that and you want to pray with me today and you want to make a public confession of your faith to Jesus, there's an aisle near you. Would you just find that aisle and just begin to come down here? And I want to pray for you this morning. Come on, several hands went up. I'm going to wait. Just find that nearest aisle. We're not trying to embarrass you. We're trying to give you a chance to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And say, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Change my life today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, there were several hands more. I'm going to wait just a moment. You raised your hand. Maybe you saw someone raise their hand. Just say, come on, I'll go up there with you. If we confess Jesus before man, he'll confess us before his Father. I need mercy. I need grace. Thank you, Jesus. Say this with me all over this place and those watching online. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I'm a sinner, and I fall short of all your glory. Today, I fall on your mercy. I believe that you took my place. The penalty of my sin was upon you, that God required. And today I accept your salvation, and I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean from all my sins. Make me a new person today. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And from this day forward, I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to glorify you with my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.